Welcome back to Deep Thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. On this beautiful evening here, it's probably about 68 or so. Nice and calm. It's about 80 earlier today. That's your Huntington Beach weather update. So, I had a little experience, which I think was very valuable and sort of interesting and unique that I wanted to share with you guys, but it isn't specifically attached to exactly what I'm going to be making this episode about, but it triggered it. It linked it. For all I know, it is exactly what this person was thinking. So I have this acquaintance online. This person lives here in Huntington Beach, I assume. Definitely works in Huntington Beach. And this person is friends of a lot of my friends. And so we all connect together, you know, on social media and what have you. And again, some platforms you can just join their little movement like Instagram because there's just wide open, not private. And so I kept seeing this person in the posts and I thought, oh yeah, yeah, you know, I've even seen this person face to face a couple times. Let's just jump on board. And this person's a pretty good activist, posts not too many words of her own, but lots of those pretty significant memes, you know, that really make your mind think. And consequently, our other mutual friends do the exact same thing, and they don't share the same ones. It's really pretty unique. So not a lot of repetition, you know? So I've just been kind of, you know, I'm just messing around. I use social media for maybe, I don't know, maybe if you added up all the moments, unless I'm answering some of your questions or something like that, probably 20 minutes a day if you add it all up. Telegram, I do a little bit longer than that because there's so much content to review, like movies and pictures and trying to figure out who's lying and whatever. So I tab into this person's chat because I'd never chatted him before, but I just made a funny little joke. Due to memes that I cannot remember at this moment, this person just seemed to me to be a person that would survive the apocalypse quite well. Strong-minded, but again, these words aren't her words. So I have to, it was a shocker. It was one of these things like, oh, it's one of those situations, right? But the response I got back was totally different than anything I would have ever imagined. And I mean, it was so simple, but so right field. All she said was, well, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm saved. Like, I'll be saved, you know, and I was kind of like, I'm talking about a funny joke about the apocalypse. I'm complimenting you on just your mindset. And you're jumping off on this totally, I'm dead and I'm saved and I'm in heaven sort of statement. And so I quit back something just, again, keeping it light and just funny. I'm not even expecting a reply. I'm just more than just like, hee hee, and that's it, right? Says it again. It won't matter. You know, you can stay here. I pity everybody who's going to stay here. I'm saved. And so it's starting to kind of make me go, wow, this person is probably actually a ditzy bimbo who gives me the impression that she's smart because she's posting everyone else's words. But the second she's got to put words together on her own, oh boy. There's sort of a, you talk to her, you know, and there's just that whistle that happens and you keep talking, you're thinking, is there something in the room? And it's, no, it's their head. It's just empty, right? And so I started thinking about the passage of Luke 18:11, which is a passage I've mentioned several times without quoting the actual chapter and verse, but it's the guy who stands up in the temple and he prays out loud and he thanks God how he is so fucking superior to everyone else in the room. And, you know, it's a passage to make you understand, don't do that, okay? You haven't been picked yet. This ain't over yet. Judgment Day ain't here yet. You haven't finished your life, by the way. You could be doing some pretty nasty shit. And just because you say, let's just say you're in that paradigm and you believe it, that you have been baptized or whatever, you can still become a shithead and get kicked out of the party, okay? You must repent under that guise. And I think just for anyone who's not deep into Christianity, it's sort of a common law thing that we can all get behind, right? So as a screenwriter, I'm sitting there going, what what is, there's something else fascinatingly narcissistic about this woman's couple comments. And the funny thing, she had no idea about Luke 18:11 or what it meant, which means probably hasn't read the Bible one time, but is so certain everything's clear. Not sure ignorance is bliss when it comes to, you know, what you think is going to happen at the last days. But the funny thing is, and the ironic thing is just because an apocalypse were to happen, let's say this drink starts dropping hundreds of millions of people and a place just goes Mad Max, well, it doesn't mean Judgment Day is coming, even if you believe in that, right? Well, it could be another 1,000 years, could be another 10. Maybe Rome made it up and you're just fucked, right? But that there is a system above it that does function, that is probably nothing like the man-made paradigms that we put together. But it's just interesting to go into someone else's paradigm of existence. You want to talk to a paleontologist about dinosaurs and you just ask him, have you ever seen a bone yourself? How is it that the guy who found the 6-inch tooth built a Tyrannosaurus Rex and exhibitioned it in a museum in Missouri, that he and his buddy found 136 species of dinosaurs, but only 32 were acknowledged because they faked 104 of them, but these are the founders of paleontology? You just use their own paradigm to get them to sort of rhetorically figure out they're full of crap. But I went to the next level in my brain, which is where we get the title of the show. Because I'm thinking, I'm playing this scenario out in my head. You know, most of us think that if there is a God, we've been put here for a reason. I mean, what the hell would be the point of us being here? You know, if it's anything above just the basic principle of no evil so that you can understand the benefits of heaven, then it's probably got some tapestry to it, right? It's many things. Again, a hero is defined by their decisions under pressure. So when the world is going to hell and you stand around waiting for the fucking bus because all you say to yourself is, I'm saved. Okay, so you get to God. I'm here. What do I get for free? You know, I'm entitled to heaven. I didn't read your book, but I did this ritual, maybe. And I think that I was just told, that's just all I got to do. I like chewing gum. God just looks at you and goes, what the fuck you doing here? And this person goes, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? I'm saved. And he's like, saved from what? I put you on earth with the brain. I taught you the difference between good and evil, right? Yep. What's going on in your homeland down there? What evil? And why do you think I put you there? To fight it. There's a war going on. You're one of my soldiers. You okay with fighting for good? You know, you're welcome to join the other side, but you're going to be against me, and that ain't too fun. And then it's like, you know, why don't you stand over there in a corner while I just think about what I'm going to do with you? There's the elevator if you want to go back down and do your job. The number one thing I am finding in people, especially men at least, but I tell you, a lot of women too, man. Especially some mutual friends of this person. They're ready to kick some serious ass. I'm tired of this shit. Just waiting around for these motherfuckers to come around and do something that you won't let them do. I mean, over your dead body kind of shit. And then if we have players in the game that are sitting there going, I don't have to do nothing. I'm saved. You're a useless breather. And the whole idea that, what are you going to die? I mean, like, what if you don't die? And the thing is here, and Judgment Day ain't coming, and it's not even at that phase yet. There's no automated death for you to rise and go to this other place. So you're stuck here now. Ah, now you're in the game. Then what do? Do you just try to get yourself killed? You just walk out in front of a demon and, I'm over here, you know? Entitlement is so multi-layered, isn't it? Waiting for the bus. I bought my ticket. I have no more obligations to my fellow man or myself or my creator or the universe. The paradigm of evil can spread as long as I can run away from it and sweep it under the carpet. I'm just waiting for the bus to show up. How do you think the world got the way it is? How do you think it got the way it is? Because everyone started waiting for a bus on every metric of life, right? And I have to say, some of the goodwill intentions of our ancestors set us up for this thing only because evil does exist. Case in point, they told you if you got a college education, just a college degree. They never said what to get it in, right? They just said get one, and then suddenly you'll be employed for the rest of your life. Find one thing and do it better than everyone else. That doesn't work, does it? Because there's always some instrument that's introduced, new technology that's introduced, a big corporation shows up and eats your lunch. They've undermined that spine of our previous success that our grandparents were able to survive on. Some people think if you just walk down the aisle and exchange rings and get some marriage certificate that's it. You got them trapped. You no longer have to eat healthy. You no longer have to be nice. You no longer have to be considerate of the other person. You turn the whole place into a hellhole, and then usually that person wants to scream bloody murder that the other person wants to get out of the relationship. And they try to run around. And this hasn't happened to me, so I'm not trying to project, but run around. I've seen it happen to buddies of mine. And destroy the entire friendship circle. They try to get the other person's family to hate their own sibling by lying, by manipulating it. I was so nice. I don't understand. Meanwhile, at home, it's anything but nice. I was going to make another episode. I'm going to fold it into this one because it goes well with this, in my opinion, which is that because we all know that one of the things that they taught mankind to do in order to gain control over us is to take us from a community model of, hey man, are you all right? Checking on everybody, making sure everything's okay, which is what a small town does, which is why they're trying to destroy small towns around the world. They want you in a big city. I've been repeating this because I want you to think about this. Big cities have no souls. There's no circulatory system. There's no know-your-neighbor situation in a big city. There just isn't. But they want us focused on the self, 100%. Care not for any other human being and feel like you're saved. Just this whole thing about, and it's so interesting that we as human beings definitely want to gravitate towards having everything buttoned up, which is not a bad thing. You know, you want to... If you move into a new home and you have trash cans and laundry and, you know, driveway and your responsibilities to your neighbors and that sort of thing, the trash goes out on Tuesday, the sweepers come by on Wednesday, whatever your routine is, you have an old couple lives behind you, you got to be careful not making too much noise. Whatever it is, you're supposed to adapt to your surroundings, be considerate. And you just lock it in. That's good. You got a system. The way you clean your house, the way you interact with some of your family members, there's going to be these pockets where you open it up for pizza night with your little kids or movie night or just eating at the dinner table, whatever it is. You work out these great moments, right? To instill quality into your life. We should be able to live wonderful, peaceful lives. And the whole reason why we can't is because of the individuals who are running around trying to get you to take this drink, mess with you, to kill you, to sterilize you. Because we talk about, and I just did the episode, Media PTSD, so follow after that. We talk about, you know, seeing the truth and not being willing to accept the truth. And that's one thing. Then there's the whole side of it, which is you can't conceive of what you're staring at. You can't conceive. You're staring right at it. You just don't even know what you're looking at. When they take it to 11, you know, let's say you and I are born on, you know, 0.01 evil. We have just sort of the feral instincts inside of us. We're still taming. Maybe we have misunderstandings that we're still trying to tame. you know, there's things that you will deal with throughout the year, throughout your life that you've never dealt with before. Someone yelling at you out of thin air and you're like, whoa, what's going on there? How do I deal with this? Do I walk away? Do I have to engage? Like, what's the deal? Do I have to defend my life? That's usually what most human beings are stuck with. But it's 6 days from an anniversary of probably one of the most horrific events that occurred in American history. And I could say 20 years ago, when that day occurred, it was beyond our comprehension at that time. I'm pretty sure Pearl Harbor was pretty disturbing for folks. JFK getting assassinated was probably really difficult for people to imagine. They'll think up new ones. Don't worry. They'll think up new ones. There's some chatter. They're going to do one here in 6 days on the anniversary of to dig our senile president out of his current issues, right? They're going to try to, you know, make hurricanes look great. They got to figure out a way that there's a catastrophe and shit in your pants Biden comes in to save the world. Well, they're going to try to do that. Trust me. They thought this whole Afghanistan thing was just going to fade away, and it didn't, and it won't. They're clever as hell, man. Clever as hell. What's interesting right now in the climate of the world is that there's a whole bunch of people that aren't waiting for a bus. And again, we do it in all kinds of different ways. You can do it digitally. You can do it physically. There's a bunch of truck drivers around the world changing things. Definitely sending a message. We'll see long term if it works out, but I'll tell you what, I give every single one of them a gold medal for participating. 100%, man. And any of you who support them or do your own thing, again, some of you just pass information around, you know? Skin in the game, man. Skin in the game. Imagine that little scenario I gave you where you go up and meet God, and God says to you, what are you doing here? Yeah, forget all the bullshit you learned about me down there. I'm telling you right now, there's a war going on. And the only reason why you ever had anything positive happen in your life is because for that brief moment on your little place where you come from, I was winning. But we take turns, and not intentionally, but they go away, lick their wounds, build up their forces, and come in. And then they win for a little while, and I got to build up my forces. And if you don't fight, then we lose forever, potentially. And I know that probably rubs people, you know, weird. You're saying God can't win? I don't know, man. I don't know. But if this, regardless if that's the case, doesn't matter. We certainly are living in the belly of some pretty dark shit, right? But imagine that. And I don't think anyone I'm talking to is anything like this person I just chatted with. And this person's fine. I'm just reading more into it to get more DNA out of it, right? But I know that the person I'm describing exists, okay? You live your whole life in a comfort zone. Every time there's a conflict, you steer away from it. I even have a close friend of mine that will run their mouth that they're super duper, you know, like no one pushes them around, blah, blah, blah. And then you sit and watch them and they just get poked constantly and no, they don't do anything, right? And so you never have confronted anything in your entire life, especially not anything of any formidability. And now God tells you, you're going to go back down. You're going to go on the front lines. You're going to be Tom Cruise in The Edge of Tomorrow. You're a journalist that's thrown on the front line of the Omaha invasion against this new invading alien, which, by the way, if you haven't seen that movie, you have robbed yourself. If you're a sci-fi Twilight Zone person, it's one of my favorite movies he's ever done. I think the script is damn near perfect. And I mean, just for what it was. They don't give Oscars out to movies like that. And it's a shame because I think it was definitely deserving special effects awards, acting awards. Bill Paxton's last movie. Tom Cruise shows up to work. It was Emily Blunt shows up to work. I mean, it is great. It is truly fantastic. But now you're on the front lines and you don't know anything about fighting because you never did. You never learned. And so you're just hoping reincarnation exists. As soon as you get wiped out in 2 seconds, you pop back up again. And you get to go back until you learn how to do it. Because it's part of your obligation too. I mean, just imagine that the analogy is pretty clear. When you were a teenager and you learned how to wipe your own butt and go to the bathroom all by yourself, clean yourself up and brush your teeth and all that good stuff. Once you reach that critical mass of functionality, your parents stopped cleaning your room, didn't they? They stopped wiping your mouth. You had to learn some etiquette and some rules. And your parents simply let you start being who you are. But you had to participate in the household. You couldn't create a gigantic mess and leave it there. Because you're just burdening your parents who are paying the bills, right? I mean, some parents are stupid and they run around their children cleaning up everything, creating absolutely a useless, atrophied human. Because when it comes time to going out to live, they don't. They live in the basement forever, right? I mean, minus any handicaps of some sort. But that's got to be us and God. As soon as you learn how to be a human being, pick whatever year you want, but I guarantee it ain't past 25. If everything goes right, let's just put that even minimally right, you have a responsibility to maintaining good on this planet. And the only way that you can maintain good, it's like a garden. Evil are the weeds, okay? They're life force that eats off of the pretty plants. Poor weeds, they get such a bad rap, right? But you can't have a bunch of crap in your front yard that's not grass, otherwise you don't have a front yard, right? I just don't think it's a huge stretch that during these testing times, we get a few more options added to our scorecard. You know. Imagine that wherever you lived, your parents went to the same college that you're about to go to. They actually had the same teachers because you're the first child. The teachers aren't old enough to be out of work yet. I had the same English teacher my father had, right? But, you know, your parents are like trying to help you with your homework and they're trying to tell you, hey, this is what this person teaches and this is the stuff that they're going to teach. It's going to be on the test. So I'm going to start teaching you 2 years before you even have them. So when you get them in, you sail right through the system. But we know that doesn't happen, right? As soon as you get in the system, they're teaching more things than your parents learned. Maybe your parents know how to anticipate such a thing and maybe they don't. So my grandparents go through the system. They go through a completely different obstacle course, completely different set of circumstances. And again, my grandfather on one side was in World War II as a Navy supply guy. The other one was 10 years older, and so he was here at home. He wasn't in the pocket to get drafted or have to join. But they're going through old-fashioned wars where you knew where your enemy was. At least the kids could go to school and get a really decent functional education with trade skills. There was a single income household. So if the mother didn't want to work, she didn't have to. Now we're in a dual income household with, 80% of every couple divorcing within the first 5 years. Education sucks. Jobs are globalized now. And so just learning one skill isn't going to work ever because they'll outsource your ass. Elon Musk says, although he will never give any specifics, that AI, he's seen AI that disturbs him. He just said it all over again. He said this shit 5 years ago, and I lambasted it back then. He still won't say what he saw. So what does that make him? Does that make him a good guy or a bad guy? That he has seen something that's going to freak you out, that's going to be disturbing, but he won't tell you what it is. And simply saying that a bunch of people are going to be out of work, well, yeah, give me a hamburger outside of a building. Yeah, that's going to be automated in probably 10 years. What's taking them so long? I don't know. You're going to put your McDonald's in on an app and you're just going to swipe your phone or something inside the pickup area. Maybe a human standing there just in case the car wash doesn't work, you know. So our tests just got a lot more difficult, a lot more dynamic. The unthinkable is actually occurring. And that's their game, man. While you're waiting for the bus, they have a Mack truck about to run you over. Straight behind you. T-bone. Got some possums crawling around. So, you know, I'm going to keep talking a little bit about Telegram because it's a fascinating open platform of seemingly some very good-hearted people, but some absolute manipulators, you know. I just want to stress this in a couple episodes because I want you guys to be careful. There's a lot of waiting for the bus posts out there. You know, and I've made the Alien Promise episode many, many years ago, and it's all about people who are addicted to believing in aliens because it, for them, it's the alternate to Jesus coming back and saving everybody. And you have your Christians. They do the exact same thing. He's coming back, Judgment Day. Gosh, hurry up. Let's end this world so I don't have any obligations to defend myself or others against evil. I want to go to Club Med already. I need a vacation. And believe me, I get the feeling. Believe me, I understand the feeling. I haven't had a vacation in years, man. I think my last true vacation was 2013, where I just did nothing but went to Hawaii. 2017 would be my next vacation, and next year I'll get to go back to my hometown again, but I think. So, I get it. But that's not what's happening, is it? We've got people in this group, our moderator Dave, my God, talk about a hero, man. He got himself arrested just doing peaceful demonstrations downtown. And I don't want to say the city because I'll forget. It's either Quebec or Ontario, something like that. Dude made it on Salty Cracker. I mean, before anything bad happened, right? Heroes, man. People who, I mean, he was so creative, so amazingly creative. Recorded an audio thing and they all dressed in these white outfits. And the white outfit thing was awesome because no one could give him crap about not being masked up. But he just demonstrated sort of this weird totalitarian THX-1138 thing taken to the next level. I mean, amazing. We all need to be like that guy. Every single one of us. I can't tell you what it was. He kept sending me these videos and I'm just blown away. And then I'm sitting at my cigar lounge. Salty Cracker comes on and starts playing Dave's video up there. And I am just like jumping off the freaking sofa I was sitting on. I was like, oh my God, that's my dude. Boom. You know, so wonderful. Yep. He ain't waiting for no bus, to tell you that much. I so believe in humanity and I so believe in any one of you who would dare tune into my show, that you are clever, that you are truly wise and intelligent. You're also smart, meaning you can memorize and repeat things. I think you're logical. I think you're compassionate about humanity. And if you haven't figured out a way to use all of these capabilities to affect other people, even in ways that they don't know it's you. You know, I do these little tests in discussion forums all around the internet. I haven't done it in a while, but you know, just getting to a day where I'm like, all right, let's do this. And there'll be some article out there. Pick whatever news feed you want, especially with the Discuss folks, right? And I've got a couple accounts I use, or even use a proprietary account on whatever website it is, and there's a debate going on. You know, there's some article, and usually it's an article. The one that triggers me is an article that I think has been placed there to pump disinformation. And so I'll go in there and stress test people. I'll either, you know, the benign one is I'll say something everybody is kind of hoorah about. And you might get someone who doesn't like it, but who cares? But the stress test ones are to go in and say the opposite of what you feel. Take an opposite position. It must screw up the algorithms of the social profiling of that account because I'm saying the opposite thing. I want to see who is on board and who is not on board with the particular statement. It's like sticking a thermometer in a turkey, man, and going, hey, is this thing done? When it comes up 60 degrees, you got to keep it in there a little longer, right? When I get back a visceral response to pretending to be a liberal or pretending to be some idiot, it's heartwarming. Everyone's like, you know, screw you. And it's just like, good, good. There's still some good people out there. Because going out there and constantly rah-rahing everything, I mean, I guess you can kind of maybe look up the hearts and all that kind of stuff, but you'll find that you get more response from playing the opposite polarity because people feel like they have to, it's a call to action. I gotta kick this guy's ass online thing. But I want to say too, Because my other subject's about the cohesion of humanity and how we need to do things to keep us together, which is to ignore the divides no matter how intense they seem to our consciousness at any one point in time. What's interesting is before you do a show like this, I'll tell you what, you've got your little opinions and you have a little tiny circle of friends and you just and you say your opinions. And of course, you're surrounding yourself with people who generally probably think the same way you think. But once you put a show out there and you get some listeners and you start getting feedback, of course, you're going to find people who are like-minded because they're looking for that kind of content. But what I've been able to do with Deep Thoughts is I start off with really super benign topics and I get into the more intense moon mission stuff, flat earth stuff, whatever it is, depopulation stuff, elite stuff, whatever it is. And then we just keep crawling closer and closer to the more nitty gritty like this episode. For me, I think these episodes are so much more important than listening to Dave from X22. With all due respect to that guy, it's just one of these things of, let's talk about the psychology of what we're going through right now. Because the only sites that I see out there are sites that are, God bless them, they're just passing information, barely vetted in some cases, right? And then every once in a while, you hear like, was it the Zach Payne, the corruption detector? I love that guy. He'll say stuff like, you know, I don't know about you, but I feel this way. And I'm sure that feels really good to the audience because you're like, yeah, I do. So we're making hour and a half episodes going into some of these feelings and suggesting, you know, well, you got option A, B, C, or others, right? There's this thing, and I get it. You've heard me mention it in episodes, and I will tell you this is rare, but it's unceasing, which is the following. I will get a compliment on the show. And then I will get, well, sometimes, usually this particular archetype will come in and it's, dig the show. However, if you don't stop talking about this, or if you don't start doing this, I'm going to leave your show. They just came. They just subscribed, maybe. And they're already threatening to unsubscribe if they can't control me. I have to hate people that are in the social media system. I have to do this. Can't talk about that. Can't say the world's round or flat or whatever it is, right? And I'm not talking about a lot of you who simply disagree with me. That is not what I'm talking about whatsoever. But this person's literally, these type of people will use about once a month. But there's this heartbeat. And I just wonder what's in their head. You know, I don't mind an honest explanation for them. I'm really frustrated that you say these kind of things. I'm really frustrated. But I will tell you that, you know, the two groups that have been the kindest about disagreeing or being concerned with my belief system. And again, some of these things are not as hard pressed as you might believe. Like, I'm open-minded is what I'm trying to say. Is obviously, Christianity is a big part of my life, and it becomes more and more of a part of my life as I get older, but I don't think Jesus ever existed. I think it's a construct of Rome, and I think that's what they tell people who are evil. They just take them in the background. Okay, just want you to see all this crap. This is how we totally created it, and this is stuff that no one's ever seen, and it's the DNA from the DNA to the DNA. I mean, it is absolutely who did what, when, how we modified the strategy, when we started writing the Bible, when we started saying it was written. It's all just down there. It doesn't matter to me as long as there's truth algorithms in it and it benefits my life. They wanted to use the good, perhaps, to create more complicit evil or to let evil reign over them, reign over us, right? Give unto Caesar. Again, God would never, ever utter those words. Ever. But the Christians who have come to me on the side, who are very 100% in belief, I can say I think every single one of them have been absolutely gracious and wonderful and loving and just said, well, you know, and they'll send me passages and things in the Bible. And I love it. I love it. I mean, I'll never stop studying that book. You got to understand. I can talk to people who are saved, like this chick, who doesn't even know what Luke 18:11 is, right? My God, it was in my first 6 months of Bible study as a young man, you know. It was emphasized. The other one is, just as an anecdote, is the flat earth folks. I think most folks, you hear one comment I might say about it, and then you think, oh, this guy's totally, if you believe it's flat, you're like, God dang it, this guy's completely not with me. And then you keep listening and listening, and you're like, oh, well, it seems like he's really open-minded to it, you know. Hey, until I personally go into space, I'm open-minded, let me just tell you, which probably means I'm going to die a very open-minded person with that whole thing. I suspect it's a matrix. I suspect that we construct this reality in our head, and if your head says it's flat, then that's what you live on. If your head says it's globe, that's what you believe in. And that's the world you live in, you know. I'm going to throw a slight digression here, but it's a bit on point with maybe how, you know, our minds craft the universe. How many of you have looked in the mirror at your face and you said, man, I look great today. I got a good hair day. If you're a dude, you're shaved up real well. Women, you got your makeup on, the outfits you're wearing. You look great. You just know you do. And so you're like, man, I should go ahead and take the selfie now, right? Maybe it's a good profile pic for my professional resume or whatever. So you get that thing out and you're pop, pop. You're not trying to be crazy with it. You're just taking a few pictures. And then you look at the picture and you're like, oh, crap. That doesn't look like me. You know, you got your fatter or whatever. You're not exactly as tight as you think you are. But you're looking at the camera and you're like, why is it the mirror looks amazing? And it's not just lighting. It's something physical, different. I'm willing to bet in the next 100, 200 years, if we can ever save the planet from killing itself, that we're going to figure out that there's some neurological effects that we have on our own image coming into our own mind and being processed. And that a person who's very charismatic is able to make you see them the way they see themselves. And the insecure, who have no confidence in themselves, not necessarily ego. Ego is the overstepping of confidence, right? When you think you can do things you can't do. They're unable to affect you, and so they don't look as attractive to us. Well, you know, for guys, we always hear that women like confident men, no matter what. Well, isn't that interesting? It doesn't even matter. I've seen guys that most Vogue magazines would say are completely unattractive, or even females that are overweight or whatever the stupid metric is for what is good and what is bad in looks. Man, they own the rooms. They have amazing partners. Never skip a beat because they're projecting literally the brainwave of how you see them. You get next to them and you're like, oh, wow, you know. When I met Steve Jobs for the first time, he looked exactly like he did on his biography book, where he's kind of holding his chin. Nice, like crazy, like, I don't know, like electric eyebrows, man. It was just trippy, man. He looked very tight. But that dude had some aura to him, you know? Which is kind of funny about the story of Christ having an aura. You just walked in that guy's bubble and you knew who he was. I think that's amazing. But the divides are being thrown at us, like I keep saying. They're subtle. You know, there are certain things where there's things going on right now to prove points, in my opinion. Joe Rogan saying he had COVID so that he could prove that you could use alternate medicines to cure. That's what that game is. The governor of Texas saying he has COVID, then 2 days later saying he doesn't, proving the test is crap. State of Texas passing the 6-week abortion limit is not really about, I mean, I'm sure they did a survey. They said, you know, most Texans are Christians and don't believe that is a form of any type of birth control, given that today we have day after pills and a lot of very quick cures. If you've had sex and you didn't mean to, or you didn't use protection in your word, you can take a little pill and whatever, right? It's unfortunate for everybody. What they're trying to do is say you have your right to your body, right? So they want the people who are all pro-drink to come in because they're also pro-abortion and just say, all right, you see how you think you've got Roe versus Wade and Nuremberg Code, which are 10 codes, that if you violate any 10 of them, death is your sentence. The other thing I want to just, we're digressing here a little bit, but I think it's an interesting tidbit. It's important that for anyone in some authority enforcement of these unconstitutional anti-Nuremberg, anti-Roe versus Wade, if you're here in America, a security guard, a nurse, a doctor, any type of social worker trying to push the drink on you. There was a lot of Nazis who said I was just following orders. Every single one of them failed in court. You cannot say that your boss told you to commit an ultimate crime and get away with it. Well, he said to shoot him, you know, except for the guy at the Capitol building who clearly was taking earpiece calls. Unreal. Unreal. It's a hell of a thing to listen to someone say something that you don't agree with, isn't it? Hell of a thing. So if you're waiting for the bus, let's just put it this way, and there's people disagreeing with you around you, you can stick your fingers in your ear and go, la, 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 the bus is coming. I don't need to deal with anything around me that's confrontational. But if you're not waiting for the bus, then you're engaging, aren't you? You're trying to solve problems. And, you know, it's cyclical. It's like a marathon. You're going to participate and you're going to relax. You're going to participate and relax, right? It's the only way anything gets done over a long-term period of time, right? The most, I would say some of the most amazing people I've ever run into are people that I know, probably some of you I've met, where I have said something in the room and I realize within split seconds of finishing my sentence that the physical reaction on their face means they do not agree with anything I just said, and they might just completely feel very strongly the opposite way. Now, that could be due to me not being very articulate, or maybe I'm just flying off the handle, or maybe we just absolutely do not agree on something. But when I see that reaction out of their face, because I'm a big face reader when I'm talking to people, it's the only way to be a good negotiator, let me tell you. But I see them, and then they come back to me graciously. And they write me a little bit of a blank check for being what they might believe to be, and may quite accurately believe, that I'm an idiot in this particular area of whatever I'm talking about. It's one of these things where I notice it, I think a lot. I can't say whether I notice it every time, because who knows what I miss. But I think I definitely have noticed it several times in my lifetime, and I put them up on a pedestal a little bit more in my mind, because they had the patience and the wisdom to allow someone to completely go against the grain, right? That's sort of what we need to be at this point. I think the biggest challenge that might be facing a lot of us, especially our brothers and sisters in Australia, they're under, you know, a situation that's just a little bit nuts, man. I mean, it's completely nuts in my opinion. Totally locked down, head to toe, getting threats from helicopters, supposedly, and I don't know what, you know, someone's taken aerial photographs of like a bunch of trailers all lined up in this field, and they say it's an internment camp for people who are unwilling to take the drink. Now, again, someone could be taking a photograph from somewhere and just branding it that way, and then it's not what it is. But I know Canada's really, really built them. They're really, really been filmed with cameras on the side of the highway. So it's one thing to be holding everything together, ignoring the divide, mending the divide, getting people to understand something that they didn't previously understand, and idiots coming to you, detaining you in a country that allows you to be detained if they suspect you're sick. Totally asymptomatic, but they're determining that you're sick, which means, I mean, again, I'm going to mention this again. I have never, ever, ever heard this repeated anywhere in the world, which is why I keep telling you this old story. I think it was Alex Jones that first introduced me to this, but the stamp tax of the Queen or of the King of England. They said because there was a point in history where people didn't have paper as a common staple. It was like a computer back in the day. You had an inkwell, a pen, and some paper, and you were You had your own word processor, man. You had your Lisa computer for $10,000 back in 1979. So every piece of paper had to have the stamp of the royal family on it. Otherwise, it was illegal for you to have it. It was an excuse so they could knock on your door, knock down your door, no search warrant whatsoever, which is why it's in the American Constitution, and they would come in and search your whole house. Now, the excuse is the pieces of paper, and their whole logic, as I've had it communicated to me, was that if you were plotting against the royal family, you would have to write it down and pass it between multiple factions to build up a force big enough to knock out the royal family. And so they would find secret projects. But they knew that virtually no one was doing that. I mean, come on. You would have to be a wealthy person, if nothing else, to pull off that sort of militia. And so they just raided your house. Soldiers could stay in your house if they wanted to. They could stay in your house, kick you out of your own bedroom, claim anything. Ah, we're moving through town. We need a place to rest. We want to stay at your house. It's nice. Your daughter's cute. And guess, you know, I'm pretty sure some bad stuff happened. But you can't say anything because how are you going to go after a royal guard or some soldier? In those times, you couldn't. Your kids were toys. Your wife was a toy. And your life, well, it wasn't as protected as you might want it to be. So, if we allow people to be detained for a suspicion of being ill, if you have to take a test to prove that you don't have it, but the tests don't even work, well, guess what they can do to you? They don't like you because you say some things online. They don't like you because you have something that they want. So they just come and they detain you. When they want you to disappear, well, they just stick something up your nose. It has the illness on the end of it, but it's the bioweapon, and you, boom, they pop it in you, and they watch you get sick. They won't let you have any of the cures that would cure you, but there may not be any cure for the actual weapon part of it. But they intubate you, and you're dead. Poof, you're out of the picture. All based on the fact that your neighbors did jack shit when you were being detained for a suspicion. Nuts, man. It's going right back to the way it was. And those waiting for buses are just letting it happen. They're letting it happen. Even the non-religious are waiting for buses. They're just waiting to die. Or whatever. Or they're not saying anything. They're willing to let the authorities, quote unquote, do whatever they want to just, you know, let's not say anything, you know. The pythons, including the Fawlty Towers I just watched, in records, in skits, in movies, they portrayed characters and built them into comedy sequences where something really obnoxious is happening to a human being that they shouldn't be putting up with. But because they're British, the pythons wrote the character to put up with it. There was a scene in Fawlty Towers, which again is a hotel that's just rancid, and John Cleese runs the place as Mr. Fawlty. And this one person's table in the dining area is just going horrible. They're ordering one thing, getting another. They got bugs in their food, all kinds of stuff. And the husband kept saying, this is typically the archetype of it. The husband keeps saying, this is all wrong, but I'm not going to complain because we don't want to make a scene. The wife's saying, no, say something. We're paying money for this, right? Oh, no, honey, let's not do that. It happens in all countries. It happens in America, too. I was once at a restaurant with my mom and my stepdad, and I ordered some steak. They brought out a steak that was black, and I mean black. And I look at it and I'm like, what the fuck is this, right? And I look at my mom, I'm like, well, I got to send this back. And my mom literally said, no, don't say anything. You're going to pay, what, $14 for the steak and it's just black. So, you know, the waitress comes up. And one, I blame the waitress for looking at the steak and sending it out to me. It's really like she's not the first problem, but the chef's the first problem. She's the second problem. And lady luckily came out and said, is everything okay? And I said, no, look at this steak. She then stares down at it and goes, oh, what's wrong with it? And of course, my mom's like turning purple because she just is about bending over, right? And so I said, take this back. I want a new steak. Like, this is ridiculous. We're paying for this. You should have stopped this from coming out. And I know the chef blew it, but, you know, you're the last line of defense. What is this, you know? It's like, I'm insinuating, do your fucking job, you know? You want a tip from me? What, are you serious? So I kept half that inside, the more sitting stuff, and let the other half out, right? And I got a decent steak, and whoop-de-doo, we got what we paid for. So I hate socialists, man, and people who just, my God, they're just so fucking meek, man. I'm saved. I don't need to do shit. Fuck all y'all. I'm going to go up to heaven. You fight for your fucking life. You fight for freedom. You fight for what God has put you on this planet for. Bus is here, baby. Just astonishing. This reply, it just still blows my mind. It's like, okay, use your words, lady. Use your words. Form sentences. But then, you know, my mind speculates. It goes, my God, has this person's entire life been like this? That you don't have to do shit, you know, you want to go somewhere and you just lift up your skirt and boom, you go on a vacation, you know, sell your soul for a little bit of this. I'm making that up, but it's just like, I've seen that. It's been dramatized in comedies on TV many, many times in the 70s. We cannot be like that. I don't care who you are. Do you need breaks? Absolutely. Again, that's something I don't talk about enough. The concern I have right now, in a really big way, is that, I put this into words perfectly, it's never easier to deal with a problem than right now, in most cases, right? The more that you let things manifest into darkness, you let the dark side win, and some douchebag's telling you that they're losing, right? But they're absolutely winning in every category of life. Who cares what their reputation is, right? That's the biggest fucking mindfuck of this whole letter movement, is they're so stupid, nothing can change what's happening. Okay, as long as the executive orders are going through, you're losing and they're winning. Who gives a fuck if the president's unpopular? Biden, he's totally unpopular. Well, guess what? His controllers are running that whole place. They're getting everything that they want. What, are we going to undo these multi-trillion dollar bills? Are we? I doubt it, which means your money's going to be worth jack shit. You're talking about a financial fucking collapse in 2022. Dave from X22 always has that fucking pessimistic logo with the fucking screaming down stock market symbol. Imagine me making an intro to the show where it's nothing but major cities getting nuked and babies exploding. I mean, that's what that logo means to me. It pisses me off. Do your little crosshair fucking Masonic thing on your logo, dude. But take out the stock market crashing thing. It's like getting up every day and telling everybody in LA there's going to be a death-defying earthquake and you live to be 100. And of course you're going to be right at some point, right? Project positivity, dude, Dave. I'll do your logo for free. How about that? But right now, if we were to all act today to do something, of course, we're not fucking organized because we got the only good side's completely disinfoed to death and blowing smoke up their own asses, right? Even if something is going to occur, right? It's never easier to deal with a problem than right now. It never gets any better later on. And so they know this, which is why they are running both sides of the game, pretending to be opposed by a bunch of people. Once we proved that the method by which we, how do we say, select our leaders is completely and utterly fucking corrupt, and it has been ever since devices. It's been corrupt before that, but you wonder how these scumbag politicians in every country keep getting reelected. And then we prove that the method by which we vote is all fucked up, completely corrupt to the nines. And then the good side says, go and vote to fix your problem. You don't think they're controlling both sides of that fence? I mean, I just feel like it's one of these circular logic problems of the absolutely insane. And to have that group, the group that's supposed to be the good guys, telling you to go to the same machines to re-select your people, right? It's, I don't know, it's hopeology. It's hopeology, man. It is not acting. It's waiting for a bus to solve the fucking problem. And I'm not sure. I mean, the thing is the thing that's frustrating to me is, like, I'm a professional in what I do. You're a professional in what you do. But the people who are professionals in these sectors of the world who know how the system works, and I will say some of those nurses and doctors that have come out and risked their entire careers, plus soldiers, right? Marines, Mr. Scheller. They're putting their whole careers on the line. They're not waiting for a bus, man. They're putting their retirements, their pensions, and their reputations on the line. In fact, if the evil people win, those people might be dragged off to some camp and popped in the back of the head because they dared to defend good against evil. We need people at every single level of government, military, police, to stop doing the take and to start exposing just little things here and there. I mean, maybe cover a couple of the little ones. And then one of the big things that happens during drug busts, this is no mystery. You talk to any cop, they'll tell you this. When I write movies, they get this one all the time. Probably had two or three people tell me this same thing. Drug bust, bunch of stacks of cash in the drug house. Well, it's all untraced cash. It's all liquid cash. And so what the cops do, because they're not paid that well, I mean, some of them are like firemen. They get paid a lot if there's a lot of action, but cops really don't get paid enough to risk what they risk, right? So their rationale is they go in there and they grab all the cash, and they have secret compartments in their chests. They actually get these things made with secret compartments, and they all just stuff the cash in. There's a honor system that after the bust, a real bad guy goes away, you know, whatever, narcotics comes in, does all the, you know, forensics or whatever, if they even do that anymore. They certainly don't do it in California anymore. You can come to California and start a drug house and just flip the cops off out the window and they won't even stop. It's unbelievable, man. And the reason is that the cops can't put them in jail anymore. It's not because the cops are bad. But they go to some central location after that, and everyone pulls out the cash. And they just split it evenly among everybody that's there. It's their kind of pension plan for busting these folks. Personally, I don't have a problem with that, man. I don't have a problem. It incentivizes them to go in and bust drug houses. So hats off to you, man. But if you're seeing, you know, ballot boxes being messed around or whatever, somebody's beating up an old lady or some shit. And they always do in, you know, those extreme cases. But whatever you can do to, like, just leak information out, right? Just let people know. This is an algorithm. And even, you don't even have to be specific. This person, that thing, that place. If you keep leaking out the archetype of a crime, then eventually everyone gets updated on, that's an area where there's corruption. Hunter Biden selling his shitty art to people in China won't divulge who bought his art. It's money laundering right in front of your fucking face. Unbelievable. And you know what? It's legal. Meanwhile, so Hunter Biden's able to do that, right? He needs more crack money. Okay. If a Secret Service guy shows up with a brand new watch, some $20,000 Rolex, because the dude gets paid right and he does his job, he's got to register the receipt, the place he bought it. He's got to explain how he saved up the money for the watch. It's probably best he follows the paperwork before he buys the watch, because that dude could lose his job because it looks like someone might have bribed him with a watch. Same thing goes for cars, homes, everything. So the Secret Service are monitored like crazy for that kind of thing. Hunter Biden, not so much, right? There's all kinds of evidence out there on laptops. None of it's been leaked that I know of. A bunch of rumors and stuff gets leaked. A bunch of fake ass pictures of, you know, desktops with screen captures. You know, I don't give a shit about a bunch of folders. say things on them. I want to see the content inside up to a point. All these insurance folder fucking rumors out there, and it's like, what, nobody can get a copy of that thing? Wasn't it Rudy Giuliani had a copy of the thing? Oh, well, I guess he doesn't want to go to jail by exposing the truth. He's not the guy's attorney. There's no attorney-client privilege. Yeah, some of the stuff's illegal to distribute, but there's ways of exhibitioning the handover of illegal content. He could have a press conference with a disc, with some storage device, a USB thing, and he could say, this person right here catches child trafficking and pedo stuff and all kinds of stuff, and I am here. This is a Hunter Biden laptop copy, and I got a USB port, USB stick, and I'm going to hand it to this guy because the content on this stick is illegal. And I'm handing it to him, so I'm not letting anyone else see it, but this is it. Or we did it last night, and I'm just here to basically make sure that this guy got the whole laptop and everything, and this guy's going to confirm to the camera that the content on there implicates XYZ PDQ people in these activities. Nope. Can't do it, but it's supposed to be real. Now, again, I've 2 degrees away from the cops that looked at Hunter's stuff, and they said, it's very real, and it's very bad. So I tend to believe that particular source. So, you know, just keep this little story inside your mind, this waiting for the bus thing, this idea that you've locked up your soul and it's completely perfect. And I guess if you don't participate in society, you think you got it made. Again, I don't think that's any of you, but keep your eyes open for that little algorithm. I'm pretty sure we're here to live and to make this thing happen. We all have different energy levels. We all have different skill sets. We all have different mental aptitudes to deal with, you know, the horrific things that we learn about in life. So I understand. Again, if you're a person that can't see certain things, that's fine. You're probably a super sweet person, and what you can contribute to society is something wonderful that just keeps us all happy, you know? Write kids' books, you know, write movies, whatever it is. Do some knick-knack or something that we can do. Bake cookies, how about that? That's a good thing to do. Feed the troops, right? Knit flags or something, I don't know. One thing I want to close with is just on that realm, because typically in America, I think around the world, there's different sectors where this isn't absolutely true, but I got a whistle in my talk there. But, you know, we've kept the female quadrant of our cultures, you know, heavily regulated and from participating in society at all levels, and that thankfully is gone. I think we've gone a little overboard in some areas, making, you know, 110-pound girls think they can beat up 6'8" bouncers at bars. That's probably not a good piece of advice. However, the females leading the march online, making videos, again, nurses sacrificing potentially their entire careers to explain things, doctors, philosophers, historians, scientists. It's, I think at this point, starting to easily eclipse the males of this world divulging the same information. When I use Telegram and I'm looking through all these crazy disinfo things, there's a few, you know, videos that come up and it's just phenomenal. So to the men out there, this is technically our job to protect the planet. That's what we're supposed to do. And again, it could be that you just donate money to Veritas. You can't personally, it's not good for you to participate. Maybe you have a lot to lose. And if you could just generate money, as long as you're not doing some evil thing, but you just generate money and pass it around or something, maybe that's the way that you could participate. But you probably have the ability to voice something interesting. I do think some platforms are completely pointless. So big tech platforms, it is definitely hard to get a voice out there anymore because everything is so gagged, and because certain individuals are killing it. They're killing it so well. We really don't need a double of that particular voice, right? Like, I would never try to do what Salty Cracker does. He does it better than anyone else, and everybody loves the guy. Red Pill 78, the guy does a beautiful job, and, you know, I guess if one of us learns a piece of information that he doesn't learn or something like that, we can drop it. I try to do that from time to time. But that dude's amazing. And so there are great sources out there. And you can support them by watching their stuff, liking their stuff, making sure the algorithm goes up on them. And on that note, if you haven't been to deepthoughtsradio.com, please go. Again, we always have video, audio, social media, all new remastered season one store. We just put up a new version of the Really shirt. And for those of you who don't know this exists, there's a shirt out there that basically has the Apollo lunar lander on the front, and it just says Really with a question mark at the end. It was a design given to me in theory by our buddy Tim. But he made a point. I usually do black shirts because that's what I typically wear, but he likes more of the white shirt. And so we created this nice subtle print on the front. It's in like a light gray on top of white. So it's not just, you know, some loud thing. And we added that to it. So you have a little color combination. And we did realize too that a lot of the shirt combinations that I'm picking, you have to change the species of the shirt. You have to actually go to the store itself. I just want to explain this. I'm putting a basic version of it on the store page on our website. But when you click over and actually go to the store, there's hoodies and, you know, yoga pants and all kinds of wild stuff. So make sure you actually browse the store, which is just clicking the Deep Thoughts link in the upper left-hand corner, and you will see other sizes. But some of you folks need sizes that are bigger because you're bigger people. And so if you see a shirt that stops at 2XL and you want 3 or something like that, you're a lumberjack, you know, get out there and click the store and you can start surfing around all the different designs. We also have the Deep Thoughts University shirt. It's marked 2015 because it's when the show started. We have our propaganda and bullshit shirts up there, which are actually selling pretty good. So I'm really impressed. And again, I have been knocking down the prices. It's really tough. I mean, they take a tremendous amount of that money, let me tell you. So out of any of the prices up there, I usually limit my profitability, at least on a t-shirt, down about $5. European shirts, they, for whatever reason, I guess it's due to shipping, they take like 95% of the money. So I take it down like £2 because at that point I'm only at $3.99 to me personally. So about $5. So just know I am trying to knock it down as much as I can. So I bought these shirts. They have really high quality shirts. They give me choices, you know. So just know that I'm working on that as well. For those of you coming through Patreon, PayPal, thank you so much. We're doing really well over there. For those of you who joined, thank you so much. What does happen though with that with the count over there is at the end of the month, because everyone's pledging to pay at the end of the month, sometimes people aren't ready to be charged and they'll fall off the pledge, and then a week later they get back on. They change a method of payment or whatever it is. I think there's a lot of fraud going around right now, so it could be just when that comes in on their credit card, it gets bounced until they confirm that they want to do that again. But yeah, you get the episodes before everybody else, and after a certain amount of donations, we get FaceTime. So we can do a private chat just between the two of us. Plus, you get in the credits. So if that appeals to you, let me know. If you don't want to be in the credits, let me know. But anyway, take care of yourself and someone else, and I'll see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over and out. One of the reset this whole thing.